Good morning. Today in St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus teaches a parable about serving his people in need, especially his people at our gate, visible to us, of whom we are aware, and as an essential component of serving Jesus and his ministries and missions. One way to avoid the sin of idolatry to possessions, status, and wealth is to share them for Jesus' sake. It is the one whom death could not hold, Jesus, who comes to us risen from the dead, who through the power of the Holy Spirit frees us from the death grip of greed.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host of Jesus' Holy Communion banquet table, the sustainer of the eternal kingdom that is breaking in all around us. Amen. O God, our Father, rich in forgiveness, grace, love, mercy, and eternal life in your Son, Jesus, you look with perpetual compassion on your often troubled world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continues to guide us to serve Jesus and his ministries and missions that show your perpetual compassion for your world. And grant us the one true treasure of eternal life that comes only through Jesus' salvation for us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world, for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Grace God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The prophet Amos announces that the northern kingdom of Israel's great wealth is a cause not for rejoicing, but rather sorrow, because the Lord God's people have forgotten how to share their wealth with the Lord God's poor. The wealthy will be the first to go into exile when judgment comes. Our first lesson is from Amos, the 6th chapter. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. Word of God, word of life. Timothy is reminded of the confession he made at his baptism and of its implications for daily life. His priorities will be different from those of people who merely want to be rich. Our second lesson is from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Word of God, word of life.
Today Jesus teaches a parable in which the poor one is lifted up and the rich one is sent away empty. Jesus makes it abundantly clear, warning that his ethic of merciful reversal is not new, but it is as old as the teachings of the prophet Moses, and in fact is as old as all of the teachings of all of the prophets. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, in continuing to teach the crowds, the Pharisees and his disciples, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At the rich man's gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick Lazarus' sores. The poor man Lazarus died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where the rich man was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. The rich man called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now Lazarus is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. The rich man said, And Father Abraham, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that Lazarus may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Abraham replied, Your brothers have Moses and the prophets, they should listen to them. The rich man said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham said to the rich man, If your brothers do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here to be immersed in your holy word, your Hebrew scriptures, of your prophets and the law and the judges and all the stories that we are so graciously granted to learn about you prior to your Son and the Gospel good news of the New Testament. May the Holy Spirit always help and guide us to better understand who you are and how you would have us live through all of your scriptures, which always point, Father God, from the Holy Spirit. May always help and guide us if we listen to better understand who you are, to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and excitedly leave this place of worship and go out and to serve your Son and his kingdom and his missions and ministries with gifts sets beyond our wildest imaginations, gifted from you through the Holy Spirit. May we do so boldly as we live and learn and grow from you and the Holy Scriptures, ourselves, as we're gathering, and then with the people we interact with, to bring them the kingdom and the good news that Christ has come, and Christ has died and risen, and that salvation is in him. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you here today after spending that week up in the Outer Banks on vacation. My thanks again for Pastor Chris being here with you. You always welcome him warmly And he's now getting to know the middle and the early service a little bit, too, which is good. Don and I got to know him really well when we were up in Altoona for the conference we had. Good guy, fun guy. Reminds me a lot of me, which is kind of scary. Yeah. In the incredible good news of today's gospel, I got to hear part of it last Sunday, because to me, this chapter, and go back and read it, chapter 16 is one solid teaching from Jesus. It's the same crowd, it's the same religious leaders, same disciples, and St. Luke wisely puts these two parables of first the dishonest manager, and now with this parable of the rich man and Lazarus together. And in between, Jesus has some interaction with the Pharisees, and I'll get to that. But I was very blessed when I go on vacation to locate another church to worship in. My buddy Greg, who I've known since approximately fifth grade, he's Roman Catholic, and we always go together. For me, don't ever take for granted what it's like to be on that side of worship. When I go on vacation, I can't wait for that first Sunday, because I get to go out and just be part of the worshiping community. I don't have to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I don't have to be so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that I sometimes feel my head's going to explode, which it can, but it won't. And all this incredible good news of being able to sit in the church and the chairs. And we found a United Methodist church up there, but worship wasn't until 11. And we also found a Roman Catholic church had Mass at 9 o'clock. Our Lady of the Sea. We found it about 7 miles from where we were. And we got there, and of all things, the father who was there was a supply preacher. The father who runs this congregation was on vacation. I felt right at home. The father was talking about how difficult last Sunday's gospel was of the dishonest manager. And so after worship, when we greeted, I said, "Hello, Father." I don't recall his name. So I asked, I'm a Lutheran minister on vacation. And I said, "But hey, you got it made, filling in this side." And he looked at me and he said, "Why?" I said, "Because 2 weeks ago, the gospel was worse. The father should have gone on vacation that weekend." He said, "Why? I don't remember." He said, "Yeah, you must hate your mother and your father and your children." And he goes, "You're right. It was better to preach today." And everybody around us started laughing. But don't take for granted having a bulletin like we do here. They didn't have one there. And the Mass is very similar, right, to ours, which Luther always called a Mass. It is liturgical. But I found out right out of the gate, it was really funny. This church was packed. All ages. It was really fun, beautiful church, because fairly new. And they started with, "The Lord be with you," Father said. And I said, "And also with you." Nobody else said that. They say, "May the Spirit be with you also." And I was standing. Aren't you glad you have a bulletin? But the father, when he was talking about Jesus' parable, the dishonest manager, began with a joke. And he said, part of what Jesus is teaching in this chapter is the idolatry and the ways we can fall into the trap of idolatrizing wealth and status and power, like the introduction to worship says. And he said, "I want to tell you what can happen with wealth." And it's about a couple. And they got married around 20 years old. And they went to the state fair. It was a big deal. And they went. And when they went, the man saw a biplane there. And he'd always wanted to go up and be part of flight. And he said to his wife, "Hey, how about if we go fly in the airplane?" And the wife said, "How much is it?" It was $10 per person. And she said, $10 is $10. No. Every year they went to the fair for 60 years. And finally, when he was in his 80s, in that 60th plus year, he said, "Honey, but I'm getting older. It might be my last chance." And the pilot overheard. I said, "What are you talking about?" "Well, my wife doesn't ever want us to spend the $10 a piece to fly." And he said, "I'll make you a deal. If you agree to get into the plane, you don't throw up, and you don't talk, then I'll fly you for free. If you say anything or you get sick, then you owe me the $10 a piece." There it was, His wife couldn't say no, so they get in, and the guy does his best to make them sick. He does barrel rolls and loop-de-loops. I think he even said loop-de-loops. And he goes on, and nobody's saying a word, and no one got sick, and he lands the plane, and he looks back at the husband, and he says, I can't believe you made it through the whole flight, and neither of you got sick, and no one said anything. And he went, where's your wife? She fell out a while ago. Why didn't you say anything? Because $10 is $10. And the whole parish laughing. Good man. The parable of the dishonest manager just would have shocked everyone. There he was in last Sunday's gospel. His master catches him lying about how he's managing his affairs. And he knows he's going to get fired. And what does he do? He says, well, I can't work on my own. I'm not strong enough to be a laborer. What am I going to do? I won't have any food. I won't have a place to live. I know what I'll do. I'll invite the people who owe my master something to come in. And I'll make them a deal. And he does. And they come in one by one. How much do you owe my master? Cut your bill in half here. And another one comes in. Cut your bill in half or cut it by a third. And go on your way. And then the real surprise is the master finds out and commends the dishonest manager for being shrewd in business matters. And Jesus teaches two things about that. He says, if you're faithless in little things, you'll be faithless in big things. Make friends with dishonest wealth, and when it's gone, it'll welcome you into its eternal homes. Jesus is actually, in my theological opinion, talking about not just the manager, but the people who said, wow, I can get half of my bill taken off. Wow, I can get a third of my bill taken off. How the evil one plants the seeds there. Well, if he said it's okay, it must be okay. Think the evil one ever whispers that in our ears? It ain't come in small ways. I had parked it, of course, at the ocean front all week long. And you know how your car can get covered in that salty air. I didn't get in until late Friday night. And I was over at Circle K getting gas on 42. And I never used that car wash, but I wanted to get the outside clean. So I pulled in and I pulled up. And it said back up. And I did. And then it said stop. And the car wash. It appeared to be done. And I started to pull forward. And right away it said back up. So I backed up, and the whole process started all over again. I realized that I had gotten the person behind me's car wash because the machine was malfunctioning, and I couldn't pull out once it's all working, right? That would have been a big bill. Here's your choice. It's just a small car wash. I could have pulled out and just kept going. Well, I didn't. I stopped, and the person happened to be a woman from New York. And she said, I want to thank you for stopping. I said, oh, listen, that thing malfunctions. Let me go inside and get you your car wash. Choices. If you're faithless in small matters, how can you be faithful in large ones? And Jesus is teaching that about that parable today. In that incredible good news, Jesus gets ready to teach that second parable. And his Pharisees go home and read this. Comment on the dishonest manager. And I don't believe I know any other place in Scripture where they do this. The next verse that you don't have today after that first parable is, the Pharisees, upon hearing Jesus teach this parable, laugh at him. I don't recall the Pharisees ever laughing at Jesus. They're usually mad. St. Luke writes on, they laugh at him because they loved money. And Jesus turns and looks at them while they're laughing and says, you who are laughing, you who are the ones who distort my Father's law given through Moses and turn the commandments into everything you would have and keep my Father's people from the kingdom of heaven. Know this. And he teaches today's parable. In today's parable, of course, you have the rich man and Lazarus. But if you want to know what Jesus was teaching last Sunday when he says, make friends with yourself with dishonest wealth, and when it was gone, you will have the eternal homes with those folks. Guess what that is? Hell. clearly teaches it today. And notice how he teaches it. The rich man and Lazarus, and of course the rich man could have helped Lazarus, never did. Heck, he laid right at the gate of the man's house, and he must have stepped over him. The dogs paid more attention to Lazarus than the rich man. Now they both died, and notice what this is about hell. Abraham is introduced, right? Talking, I'm sure, to Lazarus as well as the man who was rich. And that man calls out, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus so he can just dip his finger in cool water and touch my tongue." And Abraham responds, "Child." Abraham does not know his name because our Lord God, our Father, has blotted it out. Whatever his name was, it doesn't exist in heaven. It is gone. And if that isn't a story about hell, I don't know what is. The kingdom's being turned upside down. The one who had last, Lazarus, now has everything. In fact, he's a place of honor with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's an honorable place in the kingdom of heaven. And this is hell. That man for eternity can see God and all the saints and angels, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lazarus. They have no idea who he is, and he will never be there. If that's not hell, I don't know what is. God has blotted out his name and will have nothing to do with him for all of eternity. And he knows it. Yikes. In this incredible good news of this gospel, as Jesus has turned the kingdom of heaven upside down, Jesus now says, "Now my children, you know that's what I'm teaching. Go support what I'm going to call today my Lazarus people. And go out and make my world a better place for those who are at the gates of your homes and your church and those who are far away. And do it joyously." That's what Jesus wants us to all get our arms around. There's plenty of Lazarus people all around us in the world. And we get the opportunities to help them. I said a small thank you this morning about part of that ministry that we do. As I got out of my shower, I said, "Thank you for this towel. I have 3 clean towels in my closet, and I have the one that hangs on my shower. Have you ever said thank you for a towel?" I did. Because the Lord has introduced us to Lazarus people in Ocala through the Interfaith Shower Ministry, who every day don't have a towel or soap or deodorant or running water. And Jesus is saying, "You know the gospel. What are you doing for my Lazarus people?" And now Tony and Sue Bluswitz have made multiple trips. Every week, there was a whole bag of toiletries went out this morning. And Jesus says, "Now you're caring for my Lazarus people. You're telling them that the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And they count. And they can have a towel and soap." That gets me excited. That's being the gospel. Not just absorbing it, but being the gospel. Helping God's people. My heaven, isn't that exciting? Over a towel. Over a towel. Not that difficult, is it? At the Rock at Lake Weir Middle School, I love reading the stories now that come out of Hope Lutheran Church. I'm thankful for Louise spearheading that ministry for us over there. Lots of kids coming in there, aren't there, when you're there? 45 to 50 kids a week, but these two stories were Lazarus children who came there just this past week. One boy who came in apparently never smiles. He came in to get something, and he wasn't smiling. It's a Lazarus child. And one of the Christian folks who volunteers there said to him, "Hey, can't we get a smile out of you today?" And apparently that child and that little bit of care lit up like a Christmas tree. Because he knows they care. The kingdom of heaven is his. And then there was a story about one of the girls. She came in and she needed sneakers, a Lazarus child. I never grew up needing sneakers. I got 3 pair in my closet right now. Isn't that incredible good news? They were surprised. She picked out a pair of white ones. You know, kids like all the colored stuff and all that fancy stuff. Like, I used to wear orange high-top Converse when I was a kid. Actually, red. My mom wouldn't let me wear orange. It wasn't proper. They said, oh, you got the white ones. Well, we have all these other ones here. Oh, no, I want the white ones. Sure, sure. She was really happy. And she said, I can't wait to get home. And I thought it was the weirdest shoes. She says, no, I want to paint them. I want to be an artist. A Lazarus child. I hope she is the best artist this country's ever seen. And she'll remember the Christian that gave her a pair of white sneakers. Because she counts in the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't she? In the incredible good news of the things we do for them. Think about the backpack, food, school for them. Food for the school for them. We're now up to 25 families this past week who need food for that school out of Interfaith. One family has 7 kids. Can you imagine how many backpacks they're taking home on the weekend? But those kids count. Any of you here never celebrated Thanksgiving or Christmas? Seriously. That's fair. We had 5. How'd you feel? Aren't you glad we make sure that they have Thanksgiving and Christmas at that school? Those are the things we do for the glory of the kingdom of heaven, and it's great. And be excited about it. But the church has to worry about being a gate, just like the man's. These doors are the gate. And Jesus is watching. And we can say, Lord, we swing the gates wide open for your Lazarus people before we've even moved into your home. We've added a Girl Scout troop and a Daisy Scout troop and a youth group that's going to start and an Alcoholics Anonymous, Lord, because that is the kingdom of heaven and it is yours. And we welcome people with open arms and we care for them and they are going to know the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And if that doesn't excite you, there's very few donuts left for you this morning. And in Jesus' teaching today, he's very clear about the chasm. Send Lazarus over me, the rich man says. Child, between you and us, a large chasm is in place. And no one from here can go there. And no one from where you are can go back to us. Jesus' Father knows that. He cares about us beyond our wildest imaginations because Jesus crossed the chasm and descended into hell. And his Father said to him through his divinity, Son, you will be the one and only one to cross the chasm back. And Jesus did. And right in front of the devil, his divinity defeated the devil's power. I can kind of see Jesus saying, see you later. And then Jesus teaches at the end of this parable through Abraham's interaction with Lazarus. The rich man. Well, save my brothers. You brothers have Moses and the prophets and the law. But if they see someone raised from the dead, and this is very telling, neither will they believe if someone rises from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And there are people who do not believe. Jesus looks at us and says, but my Christ Lutheran Church, as you support my Lazarus people, some, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will come to believe. Maybe it's a little girl who got sneakers. Maybe it's a boy who now smiled. Maybe it's a backpack of food. Maybe it's a family that has Christmas and Thanksgiving. Maybe it's that person at the rock who tells them they count. And Jesus looks at us and says, I don't need you to do any of that. I invite you if you believe I'm crucified and risen, then be it in the world. My heavens, that's exciting. You don't seem very excited. I'm done. Don't worry. Well, here you go. Whoopee. Thanks be to God. Amen. Pastor Carlson always told me, I'll tell you, the Lord be with you now. No, you're supposed to say with your spirit as well. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. And Barb will dismiss us.
Go in peace. Live in humility and generosity. As Jesus teaches us, continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.